Recruiter Talk with a Twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Hey, party people, welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. I am thrilled to be Zooming in with our guest, Claudia Miller, today. So, Claudia, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, no, thanks, Renee. Well, I'm a career coach, so I help career-driven women get the jobs they want at salaries they love. And even during COVID, my clients have been able to get jobs within 90 days or less and up to $100,000 in salary increases.
Woo woo! Virtual high fives and fist bumps, Claudia. That's fantastic. And I love your top. Oh my gosh, it's adorable.
Thank you.
We are drinking my favorite tequila. So you have great taste, Claudia, because Casamigos Blanco is my favorite. It is so good, but I've never had this drink we're going to have. So you tell me what we're drinking today.
We're having Casamigos Blanco with water. I know you're doing it, I think, with club soda. Yep. And lime juice.
Yep. And unfortunately, I was telling her earlier, I left my fresh chopped lime at home. So unfortunately, in my office, all I have in the fridge is this lime juice from concentrate. But hey, we got to go roll with the punches, right?
Yeah. And I love this drink because I feel like it just hydrates me and it's only 60 calories.
Oh my!
According to my personal trainer, this is the healthiest thing you can drink if it's from all the liquors.
Oh, we love that. I love this. I love tequila is my favorite spirit. So I'm smelling it. Oh, I love it. Okay. So I'm just pouring in an ounce and a half of tequila, the Casamigos Blanco. I've got my ice here. I'm going to pour this in. And what a super simple drink. And then I've got my water that I already made with my SodaStream, and I'm going to just pour it in. And then I'm sad that I don't have fresh squeezed lime, but hey, got to roll with the punches. We'll just pour some lime juice in.
There you go. Well, you could even do like the LaCroix. Cheers. Here you go. You could even do the LaCroix lime with a little bit of grapefruit, and it's like a healthy version of a Paloma.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it. This is so good. I've never had tequila with just soda water, and it's so light and refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Honestly, if I'm doing brunch, I don't do mimosas. I just do Casamigos Club Soda Lime. Like, that's my drink of choice.
Perfect. It's going to be mine too. So thanks for sharing that with me.
Of course.
So what can we celebrate with you this week?
Well, I moved to North Carolina. So I was living in Chicago and I just moved to North Carolina. So I do not mind some of this like 40, 50, 60, 70 degree winter weather. So that's pretty amazing.
Oh my gosh. So what's the temp there now?
I'll admit today is a little bit colder. It is 57 degrees.
Oh, you're so lucky.
57 degrees. I know. I came from Chicago. So usually around this time is probably like around the teens, maybe 20s.
Today, I guarantee it's worse because I'm in Minneapolis and I think it's 4 degrees. It's awful.
Okay. See, there you go. It's one of like the biggest things that I love about moving to North Carolina. It's the weather.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations on the move. Cheers.
Cheers.
I love tequila. Okay. We're going on the party bus, Claudia. Who?
All right.
They have to be alive and famous. Who's coming with us to drink our Casamigos soda water drinks?
I would choose Sarah Blakely, founder of Spanx. She's always fun. Maybe like Shakira, Beyonce, Rihanna, and Bad Bunny, maybe? And J Balvin. Oh, well, maybe I'll stick with Bad Bunny. Right,
awesome. That would be one hell of a rockin' bus. Sarah Blakely is so inspirational, and all those musicians would keep us dancing. I love it. Can we just add my favorite Snoop Dogg to the mix? Then,
oh yeah, of course. I love Snoop Dogg.
He is so he's so chill, and I think he could do some old school raps for us to keep it even livelier.
Yeah. For sure.
So Claudia, tell us about your career journey and how you got where you are today.
Well, I consider myself like a type A personality. I did everything by the book, what everyone tells you to do. When you go to college, get good grades, volunteer, do some internships, and then you're just going to have a lot of opportunities. And I did all of that. And I found myself with one interview, and thankfully they offered me a job, but it was devastating. I was upset. I felt defeated. And I was like, how did this happen? I did everything. I worked hard. I did all the networking. I did everything. And here I am with barely one interview. And thank God they gave me the job, but I knew I could not be in this situation again. And clearly there's something I don't know, because doing all those things isn't going to be enough. So I embarked on this journey of trying to figure out, like, how do other people get ahead? How do they get lucky? How do they get those lucky breaks and continue to advance in their careers, get big salary increases? And I spent about 5-6 years like investing in myself, you know, hiring coaches, resume writers, courses, books, workshops, networking, everything you could think of. And I feel like I finally cracked the code. So I was able then to, you know, I was able to pivot from education to healthcare industry, and it was at a hospital setting. And I got a $30,000 salary increase with a job I had no experience in a new industry. And then I did it again. And I went into like the corporate side of it in healthcare for insurance plans. And I got another $30,000 salary increase. And since then I've been helping clients. For the money out there. And now I help my clients do the same. So transition industries if they want to get ahead in their career and get salary increases and get paid, you know, for what the market is paying for those jobs. So yeah. Sometimes it might be a 30, 50 or 80 or even $100,000 salary increase, depending on what how the market is doing.
Yeah. Aren't those the best days ever when they reach back out to you and they're like, I got a $50,000 salary increase. Like, oh, just makes my heart sing. So cheers.
I love it.
To the work that you do. Cheers. So you were recognized, I got to look at my notes, as the top 23. That's very precise. Most innovative career coaches of 2020 by Business Insider. Oh my goodness. What yes. about your process resonates with people? Like, tell us more. How did you get that fantastic award?
So it was, they chose the top 23 career coaches globally. And, you know, one of the things that I did during 2020 is I know the market changed. Like, things were just changing rapidly. People were getting laid off. They were unemployed. Maybe people that have dedicated their life to a company have been in that same role and maybe moved up, all of a sudden find themselves like looking for a job. And so it's everyone else and no one's really hiring because there's no confidence in the market. So, you know, one of the things I wanted to do to really help them is, you know, how can they get a job in this market currently and how to find the right companies? Because even up to this day now, there are a lot of companies that would hire and then all of a sudden they do layoffs, or some may call it secret layoffs, because they want to make sure the books look good, or they saw rapid growth and all of a sudden, you know, currently like with even the new variant coming out, there's just not that confidence in the market. So now they start doing layoffs again. So how can you identify those companies that are healthy, that won't be doing layoffs, and you don't just quit your job, say no to other job offers, and then find yourself job searching in the next few months? So I created this, you know, my career coaching program where it was 90 days. It's very specific. It helps you transition also out of some of these industries that were very impacted, hospitality, teachers as well, those primary clients, but they wanted to transition different industries and go, you know, be able to get jobs immediately while still getting paid without having to take a pay cut. So I created my program around there for this market and how to help them get there as fast as possible without having to acquire new skills, or like I said, take a step back in their careers.
Awesome. So with that, did you have to, with 2020 and COVID and all that, did you have to adjust your courses or make some edits to those, or how did you transition that into the COVID world we're in?
Well, beforehand, like for example, I used to do resume writing. So my clients pre-COVID, for every 10 jobs they applied to, they got anywhere between 4 to 5 interviews. once COVID happened, now it became 2 to 3 interviews. So I did, you know, we did have to increase the quantity of like how many resumes were being sent out in order to get us to the many interviews that they wanted. I had to include more company research. So just looking at Glassdoor reviews, if this is a good company, the culture wasn't going to be enough. Now I needed to, you know, I tell my clients, let's look at their earnings call. Let's see how healthy their financial books are looking. What are they promising for the next 6 to 12 months or this upcoming fiscal year? And that information really helped us get a little better of a, almost like a vision towards the future of how are they doing, how it's performing, and will they be set up for success or to fail? So for example, if a company is, you know, just released a new product, well, if they release a new product and they're saying in the earnings call, they want to bring it to market and bring it to everyone else. If I'm in sales and marketing, that is the perfect company for me to go into. That's where they're putting a lot of their dollars in. Now, if I'm an engineer, then maybe that would be such a good company to go to because they already created this product release. Now that a lot of those funds are going to sales and marketing. So as an engineer, I will look for another company that's looking to develop or come up with a new product for the market. And therefore, that will accelerate their careers and give them a little bit more transparency.
So smart. So I want to hone in really deep on this. Jump on the earnings call and listen in, because I think a lot of people, do you find a lot of people are intimidated by that?
Yes. And I've even known like managers and employees that don't even listen to their earnings call. You know, that's something that maybe leadership does. We don't have to do that, but it's a really great resource to leverage. And, you know, it also helps you stand out from the competition when you're interviewing. Most people will ask, you know, can you tell me about the culture of the company? You know, what are next steps? And, you know, what are your goals for the next 6 to 12 months? When you have the earnings call information in your back pocket, you can say, well, I noticed that you just released a new product and you're actually, it's intended to target this customer segmentation, which is B2B companies with over $500 million in revenue. You know, what are some of your marketing strategies that you currently have in place in order to penetrate and be able to capture this market? Yeah. No one else is going to come up with those type of questions because they don't have that information.
Right. It's like, boom. And then you are a superstar with like, you're glowing around you and you are definitely in front of the crowd, because that is, my friends, all the job seekers listening, that is some incredible arsenal to put in your back pocket and to do that, because you will stand out. One, you did your research, and two, it'll propel you to come up with questions to ask the interviewers. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So what is happening in the market? Like, what trends are you seeing on your end?
Well, one thing is a lot more clients are, you know, want to go into remote or at least have a hybrid option. So those companies that are not, obviously, if it's required and needed, like if you are working in retail, yes, that cannot be remote. You know, but for those jobs that could be remote, a lot of my clients now, they're leaving companies or want to leave because they like the remote. They get to gain time, or they want to have that flexibility to come in some days and some days stay at home. So that's one of the biggest trends that I've seen. Also, teachers, and I would say nurses or healthcare employers or employees are actually looking to transition to other industries just because they're having a lot of burnout. There's been a lot of chaos happening. They're just overworked and, you know, they're put in danger. And there's just a lot of things that are happening that they're looking to go out of the industry. And of course it's impacting, as some of parents may know, you know, some of the strikes happening and teachers not coming in or quitting or trying to find substitute teachers. So that's another trend that I've seen. And then lastly is more people are looking to move into industries that they've always been passionate about. So I feel like the past, you know, almost 2 years close to that, they've started to realize that they don't want to do what they're doing. It's almost like they're being awakened to say like, what is happening? How did I end up in this role and in this type of industry? I absolutely hate it. I don't like this type of industry. This is very dry and boring for me. I want to go do something more fun. I want to be able to be remote, be able to work flexible more hours, or at least to my lifestyle, and do something that I really enjoy and passionate about, because that's what I went to college for and majored in this degree. And I have not done anything with it. So more people are definitely following their interest and want to have a career that they're excited and motivated and can thrive in, as opposed to what they've been having for the past few years.
Absolutely. I want to pause and raise a glass for all of those teachers and healthcare workers out there listening. Yes. We are so grateful for all of you.
Yeah, definitely dealing with a lot of burnout.
Yeah, I'm hearing all about that too. But Claudia, I want to dive in a little bit about teachers and nurses transitioning into different professions. Now, a lot of people get scared, right? Because that's in their mind, it's a big transition. But what's one piece of advice you could give our listeners that would tell them it's doable?
Yes, if you're looking to transition, and a lot of people, at least from my experience, want to pivot into tech. So it's growing, it pays really well, and it allows you to be remote. When you're transitioning to any other industry, what I like to do is have my clients make a list of all the vendors, resources they use. For example, if you're a nurse and you want to move into the corporate setting, but you're like, how do I make that transition? I don't want to do any more bedside work. I don't want to be on call. Make a list of all the technology you use. Use Epic, use Cerner. Do you use Workday to log your timesheets? All this information, because now you can be a consultant for Epic and, you know, target and work with other nurses in the hospital setting, or work with their engineering department saying, well, this is how nurses actually use Epic. And here are some of the pain points I had when I was a nurse. So maybe can we improve this? Can we improve the selections and the options? All of a sudden you're a subject matter expert, and that is your market differentiator. You will be, you no longer will have to compete with, you know, let's just say with other project managers or consultants that have worked with these systems, because now you can say, no, I've been a nurse. I know I have a network. I know what the workflow looks like. I know what the pain points are. I know what's missing. I know what I really love about this product when I used it. And all of a sudden you become an asset to the company because you have so much wealth of information that no other candidate can have, because it's very unlikely for someone in the industry to come onto the other side. So same thing for teachers. I would go and like maybe apply to a consulting firm that works with different types of schools, maybe systems or strategy work. Then you can say, well, I can give you the teacher perspective. Here's how that works. And almost like behind, you can uncover the behind the scenes. And again, that's an asset to a company.
Absolutely. Great information, Claudia. When I worked at Target Corporation, there was a teacher who was hired into the training department and was in the learning and development and was a trainer. I mean, so those skills do translate tremendously, especially from the project management side. When you are a nurse, you've lived and breathed, and you have a way better understanding of what it's like when those people have to utilize those tools and technology. So that's incredible. I wanted to touch on, what about, okay, so teachers get a lot of time off and summers off if they choose to, if they don't choose to teach during the summer, or if you're a nurse, you might be on shift work. Do you help support people with the transition of Monday through Friday days? Like,
I do help my clients with identifying what are their non-negotiables and what kind of lifestyle do they want to have, so that way the job matches that lifestyle.
Okay.
So if they, you know, let's just say they were travel nurses and they say that they don't longer want to travel. They want to be home with their kids, pick them up after school, go to their games. Well, let's look for a job that doesn't require any travel. And if you are looking for example, a little bit more flexibility, then let's look at jobs that don't require you to be 8 to 5 or so. So for example, working with clients, you have to be on pretty much all the time. But if you're more on the admin or internal work that you do, so like internal project management, well, that could be a little bit more flexible. If you're more on the technology side and you want to go into like programming and coding, sometimes they're more like, here's that work, here's the deadline, just have it done by that day. So again, if you're night owl, if you're an early riser, you can do it between those times. But again, you first need to know what your lifestyle, what does that look like? What are your non-negotiables? What's important to you? What do you hate about your current job? Because you don't want to bring that in and go into another role and have that same type of work that you absolutely hate? And what is it that you enjoy? And then start almost like a funnel, filtering out all that information to help us identify those target roles that will give you that lifestyle you deserve.
Yeah, exactly. I do the same thing with my people that we recruit. We're always talking about non-negotiables. So critically important to know what you want so you don't get yourself in the same situation. Love it. For the listeners that are unsettled in their career, what advice do you have for them?
There are so many jobs out there and opportunities. You don't have to stay in that role. I know that some people are saying, well, I don't want to look like a job hopper. Honestly, the best employees or that are working for the top set after companies like Google, Apple, Amazon, they actually get poached every year, year and a half. So they transition and go to different companies because they are sought after. Mm-hmm. Not only that, they tend to be very competitive and have sharpened their skill sets because they've been exposed to different processes, tools, workflows, different types of hierarchy and challenges, customer segmentation, or who their audiences are. So don't look at it as a negative. It's all about how we frame the situation. Now, if you were to say during an interview, well, I left, I only stayed there for a year because I wanted a salary increase. So I left to another company because I knew I was going to pay better. That's not going to work out. But you can say something like, you know, I always knew that I wanted to go into work in a global role. So I strategically picked some of my roles that I previously worked at so I could acquire the skill sets in order to be a successful global project manager, global director of operations. And in this role, I was able to acquire this skill. In this role, I required this. And this is where I acquired these last skills. And now I have created or I have like the top skills in order to be successful as a director of global operations. So you want to make sure, again, this takes preparation. It's not something you can wing it on the spot. It's something you really have to strategically work through so that way you can take control of that branding and messaging you're coming across throughout your resume, cover letter, LinkedIn profile, and even during your interviewing or interviews that you're going through.
Exactly. You definitely have to prepare because framing that up is so important. It really makes or breaks if you're going to get the job or not. It's all about framing and how you communicate that. What about if I'm a job seeker and I'm scared or my mindset isn't in the right place? Do you have any tips for people to kind of ignite them to take that first bold step?
Yes. One thing I would say, and this is all around, I'm big on mindset because I can give you, both of us can give everyone all the strategies. Here's the groundwork. Here's what you need to do. But if they're not ready mentally, you're not even going to take any action or even open up or look at that information. Like Warren Buffett has created books. Have all of us written it? I mean, read it and then been $1 billion? No, it's just about mindset. So one thing I would recognize is, what is it that you're scared of? Let's talk about it. Let's dig deeper. Are you scared of that you're going to find a job that you're going to hate as much as you currently do? Okay, that's a possibility. How can we mitigate that risk or ensure success? Well, maybe I should do research on companies and then talk to previous past employees to make sure I'm going for the right company. Great. Or like I mentioned, listen, read their earnings call, look at their trends. Have they been growing? Have been they slowing down? When do they tend to have layoffs or restructures? And then once we, you know, you want to go through those fears and really assess, like, what is the risk of it? What if, like, you know, I worked with a top performance coach where she works with Olympians, top athletes, and like even the Department of Defense hires her to help with mindset work. So strategy is, it's three columns. First column is, what is that fear? I'm feared that I'm not going to be successful. I'm feared that I don't understand corporate lingo. I'm scared that I'm not going to be as smart as everyone else and I'm going to fail. Write out all those fears. And then the second column is, assess it. Is this a true risk? Like, is this possible? Yes, I may find a company. There's a 50-50% chance that it may be a company I hate. Okay, well, then the third column, how can we mitigate that risk? And what's the worst that can happen? Well, the worst thing that can happen is I do go into a job that I hate and I'm going to start job searching again. Okay, then job search again. How can we ensure success? Well, I can do more research on the companies, talk past employees, kind of going through that process and do it for every single fear. And eventually you're going to start seeing that obviously, like there's no, it's not like we're going to, unless, I mean, depending on the job you go into, but it's not like we're going to die if we go into the next role. You know, more than likely is we either make a lateral move, but you know, if you work with a professional like Renee and myself, you're going to get a salary increase. You're going to get a promotion. You're going to get a bump in pay, or maybe work at a better company overall. So there are a lot of positives out there, and you really understand where is that fear coming from. And do not talk to friends or family members that are going to be negative. Those people, and even my mom, when I was, you know, at this point, I already negotiated, increased my salary, you know, got multiple salary increases. And every time I told my mom, hey, mom, you know, I got a job offer, I'm going to negotiate my salary. Don't do it. Don't be greedy. Don't rock the boat. They're going to pull back the offer. You should just be grateful you have a job. All those things. So if anyone, if you see your friends or family members or partner commenting or making any of those types of comments, then don't disclose on any of that information. You work on and only speak to or talk to people that are going to move you. And if you don't have anyone, listen to podcasts like this one. So that way you feel motivated, invigorated to make those changes and make that next step.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. A ton of value bombs, Claudia. So first, dealing with fear, you got to write, assess, and mitigate. And once you get that on paper, you're going to see what my philosophy is fear is fictitious. It's all in your head. And then the mindset piece, really, you got to guard that mindset. You got to put a fence around it. And you're right. The naysayers, anyone that's saying those other things, I mean, that you don't need that kind of support. So find the people that are going to lift you up and support you in the direction you want to go, or just keep it to yourself.
Exactly.
So let's chat resumes a little bit. How do you keep resumes out of the black hole or the applicant tracking system? I call it the black hole.
Yeah. Well, I like to use JobScan as a great tool. Now, you do need to have a solid resume. ATS is just going to tell you, or JobScan is just going to tell you. So JobScan actually mimics an ATS system. It's free, I think up to like 10 free scans. So you paste the resume, paste the job description, it scans, and it'll say whether your resume is too long or not, and it should not be more than 2 pages. And if you're under 10 years, at least my philosophy is it should be a page.
Yeah, and I'm all about a page for anybody now, but yes. Anyway.
I know there's some, like, if it's a CV, that's a difference because they literally want your biography of all your jobs and publications, but we're not even talking CVs. That's for academia more, most resumes out there, or some of them do ask you, like, I think Google, if you're in a technical role, they ask you what tools, what languages have you used, programming, in order to show that. So it might get beefed up a little bit, but like you said, 1 or 2 pages max, even if you have 30 years of experience max. And so it scans and it tells you keywords. Here are the keywords you have. Here are the ones you're missing. So then you can use that and then either swap out those keywords for ones that you do have. So for example, if you have, you worked with patients, this company calls them customers. Well, then swap out patients for customers. We're trying to use their company lingo and verbiage and also their personality style. So if they're looking for someone that rolls up their sleeves, is a hunter mentality and can get in the weeds, well, that's kind of how you want your resume to come across. But if they're more, we're looking for someone that's innovative, collaborative, and forward thinking, well, then you're going to change those words in your resume. So JobScan is a really great resource that I recommend to a lot of my clients. And then LinkedIn. If you have LinkedIn Premium, when you look at job postings, it'll say, here are some skills you're missing. And sometimes the algorithm, what they do is they use predictive analytics. So they might say this recruiter who, or whoever posted this job in the back end was looking for these skills, or two, more likely roles or people that get interviews have these specific skills. So use those keywords to add to your LinkedIn profile and add it to your resume. And that, again, you have to have a good solid foundation of a resume, but you want to add this on top. And that's really what's going to keep your resume from going into that black hole.
Phenomenal advice. Everyone's got to download JobScan and get a premium LinkedIn account. I agree 100%. That will keep you out of the black hole. And that's, you got to get visible eyes to look at your resume to get an interview. So I totally love that. Phenomenal advice. What's the most common mistake that you feel people make when they start their job search?
Well, what they do is, you know, they usually say, okay, I want a new job. I realize I'm being underpaid. Let me go on LinkedIn, look for jobs, save. Maybe I'll pick, you know, Friday or Saturday morning to sit down and I'm going to update my resume and just start applying. And if you get rejections, then I'll just apply for more. And then if I get rejections, then I'll just keep applying for more. That, I don't know if you, I'm sure you've come across this, Renee, but I've had clients come to me saying, I've been job searching for now a year or two, and I've applied to over 300 jobs. And, you know, for anyone doing that, please do not do that. That honestly, I feel like it's a waste of time.
Yep.
Instead, I will want you to assess, okay, based on like my metrics that I mentioned earlier during COVID, for every 10 jobs, you should be getting 2 to 3 interviews at least. If you're not, your resume needs help.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the interviews, but you don't make it past the first stage, well, then you need interview coaching help. Mm-hmm. That means you're throwing red flags to the HR person, or that you cannot do this job successfully and you need to work on that. If you make it to the last round but never get the job offer, you need help with interview skills, but more on the closing and being the top, you know, standing out from the competition. So there's a few things in there that's preventing you from getting the job offer that maybe you didn't communicate or you didn't highlight enough that the other person did. So these metrics should help anyone out there to figure out, well, where is it that I need help? Now, if you keep getting job offers that are low in salary, maybe it's for a job you didn't want in the beginning. You're like, wait, I thought I was applying for a director role. Why are you offering me a supervisor role? Again, it comes with your branding. It might be strategy and how you're portraying yourself. If it's a low salary, then you're not showcasing yourself or really branding yourself as a high-level employee. Instead, you're probably going, you're portraying yourself as a low-level employee. And usually that's done through, like I said, interviewing skills, your resume, your cover letter, how you're portraying yourself on LinkedIn. So there's a lot of things that go into it. It's not like one answer will resolve everything. So that's when I would recommend definitely seek out a career coach to work with to help you identify what is the branding, what type of roles, how to identify salary and everything to help you every step of the way.
Exactly. You got to look at all those levers because one leads to the next, to the next, to the next, and then you can really pinpoint where you need the help. So that's great advice. What's the biggest barrier that people face in their job search? And what do you do to help them overcome those barriers, Claudia?
Well, some of the barriers that I've seen is, I don't know what I want, but it's not there.
Oh,
and I don't know how to get there. So it's, we know what we do. We usually, as humans, we know what we don't want. I don't want A, B, C, and T. And if you ask, same thing, like, you know, when you ask your partner or friend, what do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? Well, I don't want to eat this because I ate that the other day. I'm not in the mood for this. Okay. Well then, you know, process of elimination. So really understanding if you don't know what you want or need, and that's really going to be a hindrance, and maybe you've been thinking about this for a while, just hire someone. I'm at that point in my career too, that, or in my life, that if I don't know how to do something, I honestly don't want to spend the next 3 to 6 years trying to figure it out on myself again. Yeah. I'd rather just hire a professional and learn within, you know, 60, 90, or, you know, within 6 months and be over and done with, get the results and move on and go to the next thing. So if you really are feeling lost, like I said, you can do the process of elimination of saying, what is it that I hate about this job? What is it that I love about this job? How much do I want to make? And what kind of lifestyle do I want? And then that would help you gear your job search. But if you're like, well, I don't even know what to do after that. I haven't interviewed in such a long time. Hire a career coach, make your life easy. Honestly, you know, working with, you know, professionals within, you know, 10 to 12 weeks, you can have a brand new job with a 30, 50, 80K salary increase and move on and then use that money to enjoy the lifestyle and buy all the things that you want to get buy for yourself or pay off some credit card debt. Who knows?
Absolutely. Cheers to that, girl. Totally. You got to hire the experts because you're able to see the forest through the trees for these people. And I know I coach, I'd say 90% of the people I coach in the first 5 minutes, they're crying, whether they're men or women, they are bawling their eyes out because we ask specific questions, right? And they're like, I feel so stuck. They feel so stuck, but they did the first step and they reached out to someone. So you guys are not alone. If you're frustrated out there and you hate your job, just take that first step. And it's okay to share your emotions with us. We've worked with thousands of people and we're here to help. So I love that.
Yeah.
What's the best tip you can give job seekers today?
Ooh, that's a good one. The best tip I can give to anyone is the job that you want and will love is out there. Yeah. Now, I am a proponent of I'm going to find a job that fits my lifestyle, not a job that is my lifestyle. There is a fine line between. Now, if you are, you love making videos and then you become a TikTok influencer, obviously that's out there, but you kind of have to pay your way through that. But, you know, find a job that you can enjoy where at least you can say like, you know what, I'm not going to say like, I'd rather be working than hanging out with friends and family and partying it up. No, up to this day, I don't feel like there's anything like that, but it's like, hey, I'm actually excited. And, you know, this project's coming up that I've been interested in, and I'm actually going to be working with this or doing this something really interesting. Like we actually had really high conversions and I finally cracked the code. That's going to be something. And stop trying to find yourself, like stop finding your passion, find yourself. You have to build yourself. And that comes through exposure, doing work, exposing yourself to learnings, new certifications, and then you're going to start identifying what you like and don't like.
I love that. Build yourself. That is such a great, I love everything you just said there. It's so true. And it really will resonate with people. So Claudia, where do you get your inspiration from? Are there any books or podcasts or people you follow that really inspire you?
All of the above. So I read articles from SHRM. That's happening in the industry. And there's also a podcast. I think it's called HR Podcast.
Oh, so really? I didn't know that. There's an
HR podcast. SHRM also has a podcast. So I embed myself into kind of like this industry again to stay on top of trends. So I follow a lot of people. I have them on LinkedIn. I follow different organizations and associations that are looking for work trends. So the algorithm on LinkedIn already knows that I'm interested in all these, you know, information. So my LinkedIn is embarked with a lot of information from, you know, work trends, what's happening, what are some like human resources, strategies. I have friends that are recruiters and hiring managers. So I'm always asking them questions, you know, like, oh, what is the hardest part that you hate about, you know, hiring, or what makes you offer someone a higher salary than over the other? And can you walk me through, like, what does it actually happen? How does a recruiter go and work through this process? Because I want to be able to understand like what their thought process is and what are they thinking? So that way I can tell my clients, well, this is frustrating to them. So here's what we're going to do to make their job so easy that they're going to love you. And they're going to say, thank you, Renee, for making my job easy. Yes, you can get the interview, move on, because I have other projects and other roles to fill in.
Exactly. So
it's like I said, it's everything, books, podcasts, articles, information, friends, thought experts, and even like being on podcast and, you know, as a guest, I learn a lot too from the host and what's happening and my clients. So I learn a lot from their pain points. I know what companies I'm like, do not go there. Oh. They're grossly underpaying. They have toxic relationships. They do not promote. They lie to you when it comes to job postings. They'll say this. And then once you start your job, it's going to be the total opposite. So, you know, you and I both know, like we have our companies that we're like, let's rethink this. Let's look at other opportunities.
Oh yeah, that's right. We definitely have that knowledge because we're embedded in the market every single day. Most definitely.
Our full-time job.
Yeah. Right. Where can everyone find you, Claudia?
At my website, claudiatmiller.com. So T as in Tom. So claudiatmiller.com, or you can look me up on LinkedIn as well. And it's Claudia T. Miller.
Awesome. So go check her out. I want to thank you so much for all of the dynamite value you have provided our guests. And I'm confident that after they listen to this, they're going to take the step forward and take some action on their job search. Most definitely. So thank you so much. Cheers.
Of course. And to any listeners out there that found this information helpful, leave a review. Let us know what you enjoyed the most about it and how did it go if you actually implemented it.
Yeah, I love that. Double cheers for that. You're next level, Claudia. I love it.
Thanks.
For all of you frustrated job seekers out there or hiring leaders, if you're looking to find talent, jump over to talentq.net for hiring leaders and pay raise and promotion for job seekers. Until next time, cheers. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are thrilled to have made a worldwide impact with listeners in 9 different countries. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe to Careers and Cocktails on YouTube and drop us a review on your favorite podcast app. If you're looking to update your resume or you're stuck in your career, I'm designated by LinkedIn as the top resume writer and career coach expert. I even created a resume and e-learning course to help you if you want to do your own resume. It's super simple and extremely affordable. Go to careersandcocktails.com to learn more. I also wrote a book called I Hate Mondays for all of you job seekers who hate your jobs and want to love your Mondays. You can go there for the same information. And of course, I am up to so much valuable information sharing that for you hiring leaders, if you want to find the secrets to finding the best talent, I have a hiring guide at careersandcocktails.com as well. I am here to share information and help people love what they do. Until next time, cheers.